Just a reminder, there's a sermon outline inside your worship folder if you choose to follow along with the sermon in that way. As we begin our sermon this morning, we're going to begin with a trivia question. What is the largest organ in your body? Exactly right. I heard it. The skin is the largest organ in our body. The average adult, your skin covers 21 square feet of your body. It weighs 9 pounds. It contains more than 11 miles of blood vessels. If you think you look not so good in a mirror with no clothes on, imagine how you'd look without any skin. So, yeah. The skin holds the body together, right? It keeps everything together. It protects from bacteria and viruses. Your skin sheds 50,000 cells every minute. So when you're leaving church today, think of all the skin cells you're leaving behind. Isn't that a pleasant thought? Globally, a dead skin accounts for about 1 billion tons of dust in our atmosphere. So I didn't think about that. We're kind of breathing each other in all the time, aren't we? That's kind of gross, isn't it? But we'll get into some better things in a moment here. But this, think about the skin. It's a special creation by God. The primary function of skin is to help you feel the world around you. At least 5 different types of receptors are in the skin that help you respond to pain and touch. The ability to touch and feel the world around you is a basic need. And yet, we seem to be losing the ability, aren't we, to feel and to help and to care for others. The University of Michigan did a comprehensive study. It's old news as of now, but think of how much it's changed since it was done. The study was done on 14,000 college students between the years of 1979 and 2009. And it showed a sharp decline in empathy over time. Through a series of questions they asked, they ranked the answers on a number scale and found that over time, from 1979 to 2009, we care 40% less than people did in the 1980s. That was some 20 years ago. And experts say that the drop in compassion relates to the rise in technology. Technology is actually causing us to care less. I don't know about you, but I certainly can sense that and feel that just in the past 5 years. There's many great things about social media, and I'm not against technology at all. It is an incredible tool that as the church, we should leverage and utilize for the sake of the gospel. But there's a dark side to it as well. It's causing us to care less, to become more and more obsessed with ourselves. And I mean, look at the whole selfie craze. Remember when the selfie sticks were popular? And where you take pictures of yourself and post them online. I saw many selfies being taken at the wedding yesterday. It's just such a common practice nowadays. You know, 80% of what a person does on social media somehow relates to the self, right? And so the likes, the clicks, the comments, the posts release actually a hit of dopamine in the body when we like something or scroll through social media. And over time, our body is literally changing the more we like, the more we share, the more we unlike or whatever we do on social media. It's changing us to be more self-centered, to crave more and more of scrolling and liking and sharing. Picture after picture, story after story, video after video. I mean, how many times do we catch ourselves on social media? We say we're going to only be on there for 5 minutes, and then a half hour later, an hour later. And it's the constant exposure. And what it does is it desensitizes us to suffering. I can't tell you how many times, this is really going to date me and maybe date some of you as well. Remember Sally Struthers? Oh, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? How many times did we see that commercial on TV with the hungry children and the flies on the children in the hungry in Africa, and yet we became desensitized to that. More recently, here's another one. Remember these pictures? The ALS Ice Bucket Challenge? It was big at the time. For 3 or 4 weeks, it's everything that everyone was talking about. It's all anyone talked about. You know, water dumping water on people's heads with ice and challenging others to do the same. And yet before this, nobody was talking about Lou Gehrig's disease. A lot of money was raised. And then as quickly as this came, it went away. Do we hear about it today at all? No. We've become desensitized. Technology is causing us to care less. And yet true compassion demands action. We don't want to be this way. Technology is changing us this way. And Jesus is calling for a different way, calling for more. In fact, the Greek word for compassion is a very guttural word, and so I'm glad no one's sitting here because I could easily spit when I say this word. So it's splanknidzomai. Splanknidzomai is the Greek word for compassion. You know what it literally means? It literally means to have the bowels for something. Yeah, that's a great Valentine's card, right? I have the bowels for you, you know? Kind of gives a whole new meaning to Valentine's Day, doesn't it? The Latin word for compassion is compati, and which means to suffer with, more along the lines of maybe what we would understand as compassion today. So someone else's suffering becomes our suffering. It changes the way you live. It's not just care for someone, but you suffer with them. And you put the pieces together. What the Greek is saying in the biblical way of saying splanknidzomai, and compassion is to feel deep sympathy and to act. Not just to feel sympathy, but to act as well. And this splanknidzomai is what we see going on in Mark 1 in our text for today. I'll invite you to join with me in just a moment. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean," he said. Let's join together. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out, touched him. "I am willing," he said. "Be healed." Moved with splanknidzomai. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched this untouchable of a person. I'm sure you've heard of this terrible disease called leprosy. It was literally a living death sentence if you got leprosy. The flesh died and decayed while still a part of the living person. I don't have pictures to show you, so don't worry about that, but It left you horribly disfigured. Worse than the disease was the treatment that people treated you with if you had leprosy. Josephus, who was a Jewish historian from many, many years ago, said that they treated you as if they were, in effect, dead men. When you were diagnosed, a priest would banish you from the community. Leviticus 13 and 14 talk about this and says, "He shall remain unclean as long as he has a disease. He shall dwell alone in habitation outside camp, outside family, outside friends, outside everything that you once knew as home, as life, as love. No hugs, no care, really no life." And many died in those camps, as the leper had to go with torn clothes and messed up hair, with covering on the upper lip as he went allowed to cry. Again, whenever they came around near people, they had to say unclean to warn them that they had leprosy. And so here's the situation of the man who fell to his knees before Jesus. He doesn't doubt that Jesus could heal him. His question wasn't if Jesus was willing to heal him. He says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean," he begs as he looks at Jesus respond. As Mark says, filled with splanknidzomai, compassion, Jesus reaches out his hand and touches him. Jesus says to the man, "I am willing. Be clean." That word "I am" sound familiar? Again, reference to Jesus being God. Immediately, the leprosy left and he was cured. Interestingly, Jesus reached out and touched this man, this untouchable, who for many years his life heard those words, "Don't touch, no, stay away." No one reached out and just touched a leper, let alone got near one. And yet, this is exactly what Jesus does. Jesus is moved with splunknidzomai to act and to touch, to love, as he says, "I am willing. Be healed." Because to say you care and not act is not care at all. Are we stepping on toes yet today? That's what this text is all about. Today, what does care look like on social media? I mean, you click a like, you click a sad face, you maybe click a praying hands or say, "I'll pray for you." But true and deep splunknidzomai that this text is talking about isn't just clicking, it's acting. It's being present in people's lives. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is a Lutheran theologian. I love that name, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he says, "We must learn to regard people less in the light of what they do or omit to do, and more in the light of what they suffer." The Bible is saturated with moments of compassion, moments of splunknidzomai. It seeps through the passages of the Old Testament. It pours out throughout the gospel and is a challenge for us as followers of Jesus today. As the Bible paints a picture of a God who suffers, of Jesus who pours himself out fully and completely for you. We are called to live and act with this same splunknidzomai, this same compassion that Jesus shows for this man with leprosy, to share that same compassion to and for the world. The more we obsess over technology, the more that I care about me and the less I care about others. The closer my walk is with Jesus, the less I care about me and the more I care about others. Story after story after story fill the Bible of Jesus' compassion, of his splunknidzomai care, love and action for the world, to die to yourself, as we pour our lives into other people. And so today is all about reviving compassion through the healing touch of Jesus. You know, we are good at what we might call drive-by compassion, right? We throw our money at a cause. We put our money in the offering plate for someone else to do it. Or we click or like the sad face or the praying hands. But yet, is that really care? Is that really splunknidzomai? In some ways, yes, it is a kind of care. It is care-like, but there's a deeper care that's being shown and described in Mark 1. It challenges you to go deeper, to revive compassion splunknidzomai, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion splunknidzomai, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive." We have been comforted so we can then help others. We have been given splunknidzomai compassion so we might share that same compassion with others. But what does this kind of splunknidzomai care and compassion look like? Well, compassion interrupts. It costs, it changes lives, because splunknidzomai is messy. It's willing to touch people who are untouchable. It is sacrificial, as Jesus models compassion on the cross. Do you think the cross was comfortable? No, it was painful. We need to remember that there was a time when each of us was unclean. We need to remember that there was a time that every single one of us was like that man described in Mark 1. Maybe not with leprosy, but we all have things that have separated us from God and from others, isolated us from God and just community and just this life together that we share. On the cross, Jesus stretched out his hand to you and to me and touched you as he says, be healed, as his blood makes you clean. It's this love that interrupts. It's this love from the cross and the empty tomb that changes us. Reminds me of a story that's told from a few years ago. There's a pastor by the name of Harry who tells about a very unusual kind of missional outreaching kind of experience, splachnidzomai care that he experienced. He typically begins every morning with prayer, with time alone with God. One day, an unusual opportunity rose up before him. He felt challenged. The Spirit was laying on him heavy that day, and he felt challenged to buy 12 barbecue chickens, kind of like maybe what you get at Walmart or Sam's Club, those pre-cooked, you know, chickens. You know what I'm talking about? But Harry didn't have any clue what on earth he was going to do with these chickens or where to use them, but he buys them. And he has these 12 chickens in his vehicle, and he's driving around and praying that and asks for Jesus to lead him. He ends up going to 5 different homes. And the first home was a single mom who didn't have enough food to feed her children. In another home was an elderly couple with health problems. The wife was just released from the hospital too weak to cook, and he left a chicken there. And in every case, the person at the home had been praying for God to provide food for their family. God took 12 barbecue chickens and blessed these families immensely. It's a story of splachnidzomai care in action, to moving past the click and the comment and the share and to act, to splachnidzomai. So here's the question for today. Where are your chickens? Where is God calling you to maybe be a blessing to someone else? Maybe it's not exactly chickens, but maybe it's a plate of cookies. Maybe it's just helping out someone who's going through a very challenging time. Maybe it's just to leave some post-it notes of encouragement, of Bible verses in the community, in a bathroom stall, and just random places. It's endless and limitless, the ideas of what those chickens could be for you. Where can you be and show the love of Christ to someone who desperately needs to be touched with that love, who feels like that man in Mark 1, untouchable and loved? We may not know what it's like to be that leper or to have a leper in our lives, but we certainly know people who are hurting. We know people who feel like they're on the outside looking in. And that leads us to our unfiltered challenge for this week, simply called care. Think of 3 people, if you're on social media or not, 3 people that maybe challenge you. 3 people that I like to call extra grace required people, EGR people, right? You know who they are. And who are those people for you that you could maybe share a chicken with, share some love with, give an encouraging word to be grace for them. As Paul reminds us in Ephesians 4, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Let's join together. Just as in Christ God forgave you. How can we live this text out in Mark 1 as well as Ephesians 4? May we be filled with the compassion, the splachnidzomai of Jesus, and be moved by that compassion to help others, to put down our phones, and to actually care for someone in our homes. The people that are in our spheres of influence, that we work with, that we go to school with, that we go to church with. Maybe the person sitting next to you here today needs a chicken, and they don't realize it right now. They need that love, that care, that touch that could come only from Jesus through you, to engage the people who are hurting and to point them to the hands of Jesus. And through those hands, hear those words, I am willing. Be healed. Father, we come before you. we know that you are willing to heal us. We see and experience that willingness as we look to a cross and an empty tomb. But help us to share that willingness, that splunknidzomai, the compassion that you show us on the cross and the tomb. Help us to share that same compassion with the people that you have placed us in life together with, people that in our homes, that we work with, that we go to school with. Give us the courage to share that care with others. The love that you have shown us, help us to share that love with them. As you are willing to heal us, may we be willing to touch others with the love that you have loved us with. In your name, we pray. Amen.